Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson, and good afternoon, distinguished delegates, representatives of state parties. I wish to start my presentation on the key steps taken by our committee in the context of the treaty strengthening process to assure you that the committee remains strongly, most strongly committed to finding ways to further increase efficiency and effectiveness of its work in order to alleviate the reporting burden from the state parties. So, as you will recall, the committee has already in 2009 adopted the simplified reporting procedure and started implementing it in 2010. And in light of the resolution of the General Assembly 68 and 200/270/68, and pursuant to further decisions that were adopted within the committee in 2019, and the 8-year predictable review cycle was introduced, just as explained by Madam Chairperson, the committee decided also to introduce in 2019 the possibility to state parties to opt out from the regular reporting procedure and embrace the simplified reporting procedure as a rule, and only less than 10 state parties decided to opt out from these options. So more than 160 state parties are now accepting that their review cycle starts with the issuance of the list of issues prior to reporting. So one stage has been taken off the burden of the state parties, and the office, in cooperation with the committee members, will prepare the list of issues for all the state parties to commence this 8-year predictable review cycle. This model has also been introduced for initial reports of the state parties. So even for the initial report, the process will start with the list of issues prior to reporting. The committee has also revised accordingly its rule number 73 of the rules of procedure in order to reflect this opt-out model from the regular reporting. And the committee also continues all its efforts to align the methods of work and list of issues with other treaty bodies. In March 2020, the committee also adopted internal working guidelines on list of issues and list of issues prior to reporting. With a view to avoid any overlap with reviews by other treaty bodies, the committee decided that normally lists should not include issues that have been raised with the state party by another body in the last 2 years, unless there is a reason specific to the covenant to raise those issues. And also, those issues that are scheduled for review by another treaty body within 1 year of the review of the state party. The committee also decided that the list of issues should not exceed 25 issues, save in exceptional cases, justifying a list of more than 30 issues. As a general rule, each issue should contain a maximum of 3 questions. The committee also piloted a coordinated adoption of a list of issues prior to reporting and concluding observations with our sister committee, the Committee on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. For example, in case of Finland, there was a significant degree of coordination in drafting of the list of issues prior to reporting, as well as coordinated back-to-back state review. The committee also took the opportunity to coordinate with the task on the back-to-back review of Estonia and Senegal. The follow-up review to concluding observations is envisaged as part of the reporting process and as an important element which allows the committee to introduce an 8-year review cycle and correspondingly, as I said, to alleviate the burden on the states without undermining the monitoring of urgent implementation challenges. So the follow-up procedure is expected to take place in the middle of the 8-year predictable review cycle after the committee has, within 3 years after the issuance of concluding observations that have indicated 3 priority issues, received information from the state party on implementation measures. This will be reviewed in the fourth year, so right in the middle of the eight-year predictable review cycle. The committee is also of the view that the work of the secretariat that is associated with the preparation of draft follow-up reports should be calculated and budgeted and introduced in the post-2020 funding formula. The committee has successfully engaged, as was mentioned by Madam Chairperson, with long overdue states parties through this simplified reporting procedure and adoption of list of issues prior to reporting, or at least a resort through the list of issues in the absence of the report. In light of detailed written replies to the committee's list of issues and constructive dialogue that the committee held with the state parties delegation, the committee considered the written replies as the state parties' initial or periodic report. As was also already mentioned, this periodic review cycle that was initiated in 2019 has been a little bit disrupted due to COVID-19 pandemic. However, the committee continues to review states parties' reports, and it has done so even during the COVID pandemic online until it has been able to resume its in-person sessions last October. And Vice Chair Furuya will elaborate a bit further on the modalities of hybrid meetings and some good practices that were also detected. This year, the committee will be reviewing 19 states parties. And I have to inform you that as of today, the committee has 41 states parties reports pending consideration. So the committee will continue to adjust its eight-year calendar, taking into account all the reports which have already been submitted by the state parties, as well as the new upcoming reports. And as was mentioned, the work is now been ongoing on preparation of the revised calendar for the period of 2022 to 2029. And once ready, it will be shared with the state parties and also issued on the web page of the committee to inform all the stakeholders. This concludes my brief presentation on the key steps taken in the mandate of the committee dealing with the reporting of the state's parties. Thank you very much, and I return the floor back to Madam Chairperson.